Savage.
You mean as the DA? No.
That was my father.
That's what I thought. So that he actually practiced.
I don't know what they call practicing.
But then we make a mistake. You're just practicing.
Well, what are you practicing? There you go.
All right, we'll begin our meeting. First, citizen comments. Are there any citizen comments? No? All right, seeing none, we'll move on here. The only thing that I would have informed of a report is this. You probably read or heard about the proposed leasing of the Historical Society building at 6300 3rd Avenue to a school. And that did pass the Public Works Committee this week. It was scheduled to come to this committee this evening, but I learned about it in the newspaper, and so I sent a letter out to people in my district who live nearby. Just for their input, and I didn't feel that they would have enough time to give that input with the meeting being held this evening. But I did talk with the person who's proposing the school, and I suggested that if the committee would agree, as they would like to begin, if they do lease it in the fall, a special meeting of the Finance Committee to take this up, if you would like to do that. If we put it on a regular agenda that comes toward the end of August, it would make it difficult if we decide to go along with the proposal for them to open in the fall. Probably that would put it out second semester or something along that line. So what is your pleasure in that regard? My thought was to call a special meeting in a week or so, and you can pick the date. Or the other alternatives on the regular agenda.
Set the date and see where you make it.
Is next Thursday a good night for you?
How much time do you think you need?
Well, they'll make a short presentation. It's how much we want to go into it. It's up to us.
Do it on a Tuesday night right before the regular meeting or no?
But our next meeting is...
this coming Tuesday?
Tuesday.
To do it. Just before the Tuesday, or if that's not enough time for you to get your survey back, you can do it the first meeting in August.
It seems to me there's a lot of unanswered questions on that thing, and you know, what part of the building you're going to use, and then that the building actually as it is, we can't sell it now anyway because it's residential and there's a building attached to it, right? I don't know all of that. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that's taking more than a half an hour meeting.
It probably would.
Do we have a regular meeting on the 7th, or is that an election August 7th?
No, the election's the 14th.
The 14th.
We should have a meeting on the
7th. So we could have, if we don't have it before this Tuesday's meeting, then it couldn't go to the board until that's the meeting on the 7th anyway.
Yeah.
So you could have it any time before the 7th, and then you wouldn't miss that much of it.
Well,
so
what about next Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesday's out. Thursday's okay.
What about 2 weeks? Like Thursday the 26th?
July 26th?
Thursday's fine with me.
July 26th?
Yeah. Okay.
July 26th, is that what you guys want?
Doesn't matter.
Al, 26th?
Matter.
Okay. All right, then we'll...
I have just a quick suggestion that if somebody doesn't understand what that building's like, they should just talk to Ray Arbit and go take a look at it before the meeting so they know what you're talking about.
Well, I've been in there a few times.
Well, now you can see it while it's empty.
With an intent to put it on for August 7th.
All right, so we will hold a special meeting July 26, 6:30, this room. The sole purpose will be the consideration of the proposed lease to the school. All right, let's move on then. Any reports from the committee? Okay, next item is approval of the minutes of June 14,
1928. So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Right, the next item is the resolution on planning and development, and that would be presented by, you know,
This resolution is just to apply for a community development block grant. We will be part of a consortium with Columbia County as part of a small county association, and this is for apply for funds for low to moderate income housing. We had previous grants from this grant back in 85, 88, 90, and 93. We haven't had one in quite a while, but this is a revolving loan fund for those funds. And this application is just to apply for the grant.
Thank you. So just an academic question. I'd just like to understand it a little bit better. I noticed the structural change, the partnering with the other counties, and I was just wondering how that would help us achieve the goal, which is to get the funding, allow the lower moderate residents better access to the funding.
I can't get an answer for you. This is not my area of expertise. Okay. But I will get an answer for you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Bill?
Is there a specific amount that's being applied for here? Am I missing that?
Total from HUD is $6.3 million. For the second page of the memorandum. That's statewide. The state of Wisconsin.
That's available to what? All counties or two?
No, there's different regions. The five county regions of Kenosha, Ozaukee, Racine, Walwood, Racine, those will meet the city regions, and then there's 10 additional counties that are to be in consortium: Columbia, Dodge, Jefferson, Rock, Sauk. So that's it.
So there's some apportionment that we'd be set up for, which we probably don't know at this point. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think the big difference between this and the former state procedure was that currently each county buys or competes for the money. This is not a competition, but rather regions where it is divided up by a vote of the members. I think that's the big difference.
Yes. Jeff? My question would be, and I just briefly read the resolution now, is we're going to implement it with somebody else or work in consortium with somebody else. What is the money going for? How would it be spent? What are, you know, what are some of the things that would guide where the money would go?
I believe this is rehabilitation of housing outside of the city.
Is that something we're talking about?
You believe it is, or is that?
No, that is.
Okay, yeah. That's what it is. So yeah. Rehabbing for outside the city of
Kenosha. It's like an RLF, we use it for revolving loan funds, so we get a loan, then it revolves back, and we have that pot of money permanently.
Is that going to be a revolving? Is that what it's going to be?
That's the idea.
It's not going to be like the black grants the city gets for.
No. It's a different character than the CDBG that's in the city. That's a different.
So people would get loans based on
income
and stuff like that, or what?
They get 0% loan financing.
Do they have to have income levels or something?
I'm not sure what the criteria is.
I remember years ago they did have, but there were some limits. You had to have qualifications. You had a bit low income. And
this is the same program that comes in the majority of the West.
Yeah, it's a good program. Absolutely.
It's the same one you remember. If you look 85, 88,
90, 93. Okay, in that region, I should have read it close. I think I saw that it was an application. It's just an application. So how many times have you applied and we'll get into it?
It's called LMI, Low and Moderate Income.
Okay. So
it's outside the city. That answers my question. Right. I understand it a little better. So.
And there's probably some criteria where they get an interest-free loan for a couple of years and they got to start paying it back. We don't have any numbers as to how it's going to work or anything. I mean, we don't have any.
Well, you know how it works now, where we give the loans out, they repay it. We have that pot of money. It's there for continued rehab. It's similar.
Okay. So this will be a revolving
RLF.
that the property sold.
Yeah, when we met in Public Works on this, if I can recall, it was explained to me that the 10-county group that we're in is a total of $750,000, which does not mean that's going to be divided up 10 ways.
Right.
And also, we're not even eligible for that money until we exhaust our revolving loan fund that we have. So chances of getting any money out of this are slim, but they still wanted to get their foot in the door.
Right.
I know.
Good question, yeah. So did this go through Planning and Development Committee?
Planning and Development?
No.
Public Works.
Was the sign-off...
Yes, they did.
Okay.
All right, there's a motion by Supervisor Frederick with a second by Supervisor O'Day. Any other discussion?
The only thing I'll say relative to Supervisor Brady's question is this is the committee of jurisdiction for the Housing Authority, according to the county ordinance. So this committee has oversight on this.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It passes, and we'll circulate this. Next item of business, human services resolution. Is that going to be done by Mr. Rogers? This is Mr. Rogers.
Yes, I'm Mr. Rogers. Good evening.
It's not the first time you heard that, right?
Don't say boys and girls.
I won't. So I'm Ron Rogers. I'm the director of the Division of Children and Family Services. The division is requesting the committee's support to replace a Department of Human Services, Division of Children and Family Services, Social Work Support Specialist, which is a clerical position, with a county social work position. Currently, we have in our access office, which is the office that's responsible for receiving and documenting reports of alleged child maltreatment, a social worker and a social work support specialist. They have staffed that office historically for many years. We are really doing a reorganization within the division. And we are now in the process that all of our social workers are trained to do investigations of child abuse neglect within the CPS unit. And we call those initial assessment social workers, where they investigate child abuse neglect allegations within the community. And they also are trained to take access calls and act as access social workers to receive, analyze, and document reports of alleged child maltreatment that they receive in the office. The state of Wisconsin has increased the responsibilities and the requirements of how we document reports of alleged child maltreatment, and they clearly are steering us to the area that, in a sense, the start of an investigation of child abuse and neglect starts when we receive that phone call, and it's become much more than simply taking down basic demographic information and gathering just minimal facts. It's become much more of a dialogue, a give and take, where a social worker with the skills needed to do social work actually analyzes the information being taken in, starts to make assessments of present and impending danger, and actually makes decisions regarding how quickly we should respond to those calls and this sense of urgency. So we are requesting to make this transition and, in a sense, eliminate a clerical position that no longer fits the responsibilities of the access office, and instead bring on board a social worker that will. And in addition, which is probably not as clear in this resolution, we will be having then our social workers rotating into that access office so that we have more of a, really the initial assessment will start when people first make that phone call. So I'm asking for the Finance and Administration's Committee support for this resolution. This poses no additional levy funding cost.
Discussion, Ron.
You're eliminating a position and creating a position?
We're eliminating a clerical position and creating a social work position.
Oh, clerical position.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Somebody in that clerical position now, or what?
That person retired.
Oh.
Retired after 36 years of service with the county.
Convenience?
Yes.
Opportunity and access.
Yeah.
Any other discussion?
Move to approve.
Okay, second.
Second.
Ron, who will do the work of this clerical person, not the social worker?
Well, really, we've reorganized the office. So many of the more traditional clerical duties that were done in that access office have already been removed and have been given to our other clerical staff within the division. Our business, so to speak, of receiving child abuse and neglect referrals has increased over the last few years. And so we will be having, we've always had two social workers in that office receive, we've always had a social worker receiving child abuse and neglect referrals. We'll now have two social workers doing that. And the more clerical duties have been given to other clerical staff within the division.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the motion on the floor is to approve. All those in favor say aye.
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 Passes or circulate. The next item
thank
is
you
the.
For your support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is the personnel resolution regarding the benefit proration of nurses. And we talked about this at the last meeting and referred back to the committee by the county board. And Bob, do you want to proceed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you know, I think the Postal Service cost us the opportunity to get this passed the other night, or the committee, but it did give us an opportunity to do a little more research with the help of my friends from Brookside. We have been able to scare some comparables for you, and with the help of Lori State from Human Services, we've done a costing, which hopefully should clarify some of the things. And I apologize if I didn't present it very clearly the last time, but these two documents should help you a great deal. Again, what we're looking for is to prorate benefits for registered nurses who work at Public Health and the Brookside Care Center. And maybe what we didn't make clear enough is that this is, in fact, a reduction in benefits. And so there was some discussion about whether or not this is going to cost the county some money. It's not. What the financial analysis shows you in the two areas highlighted in yellow is that if this was a straight across proration for people who get full-time benefits now, it would save the county upwards of $39,000. But the absolute least it can save is $4,000, and that's if everyone who is eligible for health insurance will take it according to the benefit formula which you have in the resolution. And so this is a cost-saving matter for the county, but it also, in saving us money, keeps us competitive with the people that we are competing for nurses with. There is a nursing shortage, it's well documented. We are in a no-holds-barred game to attract nurses, quality nurses to come to work for us. And so, second document is presented to share with you what our competitors are offering. Now, in the first document that we submitted last month, we had comparables from our public sector competitors. These are private sector competitors. The two hospital systems are local hospital systems, two of the three local hospital systems. And the nursing homes are regional. But you can see that most of the private competitors, and this was, I believe it was called for by Supervisor Decker on the board, you will find that compared to our proposed benefits, the private sector is in pretty much the same category. And so they are offering full-time benefits for anywhere from 32 hours to a little bit less than 30 hours, in some cases, and from halftime to 32 hours. On the right-hand column, you'll see what those employees are paying for those benefits compared to what our employees would be paid for those benefits. Again, you'll find we're comparable. There are more choices in the private sector in general when it comes to insurance, which is why you'll see the variety of of contributions there and the wide range. They also separate their benefit into four categories for the most part. We separate ours into two. So you have part-time benefits, you have a single plan, employee plus child, employee plus spouse, or full family, and each one carries a different employee contribution. So what these two documents hopefully have clarified, responding to questions from the board floor, is, yes, it is a cost savings for the county, and yes, it does keep us competitive with our private sector colleagues with whom we are competing for registered nurses. And quite coincidentally, the director of nursing and the administrator from the Brookside Care Center are both here tonight on another matter, but I would be happy to call on them if you have a question.
Maybe the committee would be well informed and better if the current system, a part-time person works, not signs up for 24 hours, but works 40 hours, do they get full-time benefits?
Currently, yes. But we do that in a year. So if you work 40 hours last year.
Not for the IRS.
That's what we're proposing.
I know.
The new policy change.
So you spoke off late, Sean, playing in the back. What's the answer?
The new policy change is 24 hours gets you 24 hours worth of benefits.
But if you sign up for 24 now and you work 40 hours, what do you get?
What? The average number of hours you worked in a week last year.
It's a look back.
It's a look back.
So you might get...
So you might get full-time benefits.
Full-time benefits. But this proposal says you will not, under
correct.
That example.
Correct.
If you sign up for 24 but work 40, you're still going to get part-time benefits because that's what you signed up for.
Correct.
That's the big difference between the two policies, isn't it?
Correct.
And under the current policy, if you signed up for part-time work, but at the end of the year you average full-time, the following year would you get full-time benefits?
Yes.
Even though you might work part-time?
Yes.
And again, this changes that, so yes. That if you sign up for part-time, even if you work full-time, you get part-time benefits.
Yes.
Questions or discussion, John?
Just from a management standpoint, if you are working now at the nursing home and you haven't got those employees, the nurses on staff. So what is this? What is the staffing costing the county now from a management standpoint to fill that? Because you have to have somebody there. So I think just a little overview of that would maybe make something of these numbers also.
I'm going to ask you to repeat the question.
Well, what does the management at the nursing home do when they don't have the employees? They can't hire the employees because they don't have the benefit package to offer them. They have to have nurse RNs on staff, particularly weekend is the biggest problem. So relating the staffing problem to money is one thing, but relating it to actually having somebody actually be there working, when the state says you have to have somebody there, what's it costing us?
What's it costing us as far as...
Well, you're hiring, you've got people working for not just regular wages at that point.
Marty, do you have a lot of overtime issues with RN?
We have overtime like anywhere else, but the issue for us is that we're losing staff. They're going elsewhere where they can get benefits based on their actual, hours worked. We've had a couple nurses resign and go elsewhere already. Nurses are scarce right now, so it's something that we need to try and keep the good staff that we have and still have the ability to attract new people.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other discussion? Yes, Aaron.
Yeah, just a question. So I understand this is either break even or possibly save us money. So how, I guess, just overall, if we're trying to be more competitive, how is this competitive? How does this help us retain or keep, I'm just thinking about it in my head, if we're saving money, shouldn't it be a reduction for, to make it negative? I'm just trying to understand. Or this is a truly, is this a win-win?
It is a reduction in benefits. For the benefit.
Okay.
Go back to last year. When Act 10 comes into play, there is action to prorate benefits on a strict basis for part-time employees. Okay. And so part of the policies that were approved last year the policies which now govern the employee experience, okay, have proration as part of the policy. What we learned quickly is the proration cannot be pure for all groups. Okay? And that's pretty much what the memo I wrote last time said. In fact, for a clerical employee, if you work 20 hours and you have to pay 50% for your benefits, that's kind of accepted in the market for clerical employees. It's not accepted in the market for registered nurses. And so, rather than do a 24 with a 40% contribution, 32, so on and so forth, we did the research necessary with the help of Fran and Barb and discovered what the standard in the registered nurse industry is for prorating benefits for employees, okay, for RNs. And this is what we've come up with. That will keep us competitive in the market, that's competitive with private sector competitors, competitive with public sector competitors, so that we're in the game, and yet we have maintained the the drive or the call for pure proration of benefits for county employees. I don't know if you remember some of the contracts, but most of the contracts have a little grid in and it identifies how all the benefits are being prorated. And they were they were a tad generous for what they were contracting and they were negotiating. So now that we are kind of in the post-Act 10 world, we need to remain competitive, but we need to recognize the call for proration, and this strikes, I think, the necessary balance that we need to have in order to keep the nursing home and public health well staffed with registered nurses.
If correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, the reason we might lose and have lost a little bit of staff is they can go out and they get paid benefits on their actual hours worked as opposed to what they had done last year. Am I correct in that assumption? So, I mean, here staff and the facility that needs the RNs have come to us and told us, hey, look, we can save a little bit of money and we can be competitive. That's really all I need to hear. You know, I mean, they're structuring their nursing and what they need to do to be competitive. Our personnel director's telling us that, you know, we can save a little bit of county money, and this is what Brookside needs. I'm totally in support of it.
Ryan?
I didn't have a problem with this when we sent it to the board last time, and I still don't have a problem with it now, but the point you brought up wasn't brought up about that I remember that, because I know Supervisor Noble said something to the fact that some of the nurses, they work longer than, more than 20, 16 hours, and now you're telling us that if they show a year of working more than, they say, 16, they go to 24, then they'll be eligible for the 24-hour benefit the following year for that year, right?
If they hold the 24-hour posting, they get the 24-hour benefit.
Okay, so yes. Now the other question is, if you post these, is this a union, are these union positions yet?
No.
Okay, actually, when you say posting, it's just hiring, right?
Yes, we give internal opportunities.
Okay, so if somebody wanted to change their posting, say, I want to go 24, I wouldn't have a problem with that either, would you, immediately, or?
I wouldn't have any problem with that at all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I think it'll work. I think it's fine. I thought it was fine when we sent it last time, and I don't have any problem with it now.
Yeah, interestingly enough, we did this research, and there's different ways of handling the situation of employee groups who work full-time but have, you know, lower level posts. Yeah. There's one of these groups, and I forget which one, it doesn't really matter, reassess every 3 months.
Okay.
And so if you have averaged 32 hours or more in the previous 3 months, for the next 3 months, you get a full-time benefit. I have not brought that up with the finance folks, and it's important that we do, because that all of that would fall to them to do that configuration. This is the best deal we have going right now. And it, again, it meets the call for appropriation that came with, in part with the Act 10 policies. It's fair, it's competitive. And if not, we'll be back in 2 months.
Phil?
I'm in support of this. I think it shows a reaction to the marketplace, what we have to do to keep our nurses in the Kenosha County stable, so to speak. Just a couple background questions, though, so we're all clear on this. For the 32-hour posting, the employee receives choice of a single or a family plan. So de facto, that's saying basically we're treating you as a full-time employee.
Correct.
With your choice. Other than just the health care benefits we're talking about here, what constitutes full-time for a Kenosha County nurse? How many hours per week? Is it 32 as well?
32.
Okay. The other thing is Brookside, of course, operates 24/7.
Yes.
Is that the only category of nurses that we have hired for that purpose? Are these other categories just more or less standard 9-to-5?
Public health nurses do not work 24/7, which is the other category of nurses that we have. Most of them work a Monday through Friday schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them work Saturdays and Sundays. There is a group of public employees, public health nurses that operate the Nurse of the Day clinic at the job center. They work 4/10s and rotate. So this really, it is the Brookside situation that has it.
They were addressing, okay. Public health nurses also encompass the school nurses, is that correct?
Yes. Okay. The school nurses historically got their benefits at 75%. So that was part of that credit reference of the contract. They now get, again, the same deal, but the single plan plus the family upgraded to 50%.
What do the school nurses do when school's not in session?
Some of them are not working. Some of them work a reduced schedule for summer school and that sort of thing.
That's my questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion?
Motion approved.
Is there a second?
Are we moving to send it back, or was already approved it? So I guess it's going to be approved again, or is it just going to be? We already signed it. It came back, so I don't know.
No, it
was pushed back. Well, perhaps we want to reaffirm it and send it back.
With no change.
With no change.
And the fact that no change.
Yeah, all this additional information.
With the additional two bits of analysis attached.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
that's your motion.
Proposal, John, and second by Supervisor Frederick. Yeah. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
So I won't need to send the resolution around. The committee's already approved it, and I'll just put a note to ask the clerk to be sure the analysis is attached.
We grind the sausage.
The vote is the same.
The vote's the same, yeah. But there were two
members
absent, members excused from this meeting that were at the last meeting. So.
All right, we'll move on. The audit of bills, I believe, is being circulated.
We'll send this around, and then I'll ask the budget director if we have any items he wanted to highlight in the report section.
I have one item under the County Board Rules and Procedures. There's a...
This one we sent?
Mm-hmm. It's on the front.
Oh, yeah.
Find the right piece here.
You're talking about Chapter 2 County Board Rules?
Correct. There was a question, I think, at the prior finance committees ago. When the advisory resolution first came to the county board and came to the finance committee, a member of the county board asked whether the audio had to be posted on the website, when they had to be posted on the website, and they questioned whether they came to that meeting and if they would have liked to hear the audio prior to that meeting. And it's, the audios have to be posted to the website 5 business days. I think we had the meeting on Tuesday. We met then Tuesday before the county board, and the audio was not posted. And, it wasn't within the time frame to be posted, but I just wanted to point out what those days were.
Okay.
And give the report on that, give you the piece of the policy on that.
We were in compliance.
We were in compliance.
So there was a question, someone thought that it was a 2 or 3 days, and it really was 5 days, right?
Correct.
And so our committee was in compliance when we were being questioned at that meeting.
We will try as much as possible when we meet on Thursday to have it on before Tuesday, But the real thing is 5 business days is actually the following, almost the following Thursday to get it on the website.
And that's the board's rules, which we didn't follow.
All right, very good. Next item on your reports.
Did you have anything else?
I have a lot of reports.
And that, so we have some reports from some of the agencies, and you can look at those if you have any questions. I'll just say generally our cash flow is good. We're not aware of any budget overdrafts at this time. Two things I'll tell the committee. One is that we closed on the bond issue yesterday, and the money went in the bank. So the money is now in the bank. We should see, because it's one of the earliest periods of time that we deposited the money in the bank, we'll see a spike in our cash flow, and then that combines with the treasurer working on or getting tax collections too prior to settlement. So we will see a pretty healthy spike in our cash flow. And with our audit, we finished the financial part of the audit, and I got the draft yesterday. The committee will be seeing that in the future, but there's no surprises. You've already got reports in February and March on our 2011 audit, and you know where we are with our audit. But with our new auditor, we finished the audit earlier than ever in the history of Kenosha County, prior to the time that the Bureau of Municipal Audit used to do our audit, which I'm probably the only one in the room that knows anything about that. But so we hired new auditors, the board approved new auditors, and we finished it sooner successfully than ever. So, and I was talking with the chairman about some issues with LIBOR, and I don't know if you've read any of the articles about LIBOR. It's this London Interbank Offering Rate, the rates that banks lend to each other.
I see that on the internet sometimes. Yeah. Stock market, so I guess I don't understand it.
We chatted about it a little bit, and there's more to learn about it. A lot of things are indexed. We do index treasury or agencies, federal agencies. They're typically the marketplace indexes the sale of some of these to the LIBOR. But the main thing that we're seeing that it affects is swaps. And we don't do swaps, so I'll try to explain it. So it's like a city will have a swap where there's a fixed rate, and then they'll be paid back with a variable rate, hoping that variable rate's higher than the fixed rate, and they'll make money. But because it was indexed to LIBOR, if LIBOR was artificially lower than it should have been, they got stuck paying that higher rate, and they got the shaft because they had a loss on that swap. And so there could be, it looks like the swap area is where the most exposure is. Now, of course, I just want to say that there's a lot more to learn about these. But my own assessment is that there's nothing for us to be alarmed about. It doesn't affect principal or solid. Everything's in good shape. All of our agencies, we buy in the secondary market, not in a primary market, so it's what the market has on the secondary market. But we'll keep our eye on it. I did also consult with our financial advisors and investment advisors, and they all agreed with me that there's nothing to be alarmed about. But it is something for us to be aware of, and you know, we could get questions about it, so we want to be ready with that. So, that concludes my reports.
How are the investments done now? I mean, from the old days, I used to put $10 million 5 days at the bank until we needed the money. And that obviously it's more sophisticated now.
Yeah, we use a lot of different. First of all, we have a policy. There is no principal to be placed at risk. That's our basic policy. There's no principal is to be placed at risk. There's a lot more to the policy than that, our investment policy, but that's the basic gist of it. And we invest in the local government investment pool, which may have done some swaps, so there might be some indirect impact. There will be litigation to recover money if anyone lost money.
With the state.
With the state, yeah, right. Yeah. That's a state pool. We invest in a company called AIM that's solely AAA rated U.S. Treasuries, although with Moody's it's AA plus. And invest in Dana, U.S. agencies between 8 to 10 million, and that's where we get our best rates.
That's not out of finance now, that's not done out of the treasury.
Well, it's all, we work together on all of it. I mean, we collaborate on everything, and we work well together. And then we have compensating balances, and we earn money on our. Of
so
course,
rates
are really
right
low.
Pardon me. What are you earning right now?
Well, if you look at the treasurer's rate, if you look in 07, it was up to 5%, and now it's just mere basis points of between 20 to 40, 50 basis points on average. Although that Dana, pardon me, do earn more than that. So, but. That's, you know, we invest conservatively.
Under 1%?
Oh, yeah, it's under 1%. Yeah. It's a third of a percent, you know.
You're not any better off than I that we are.
Well, we...
I mean, as far as interest rates.
You know, we're not willing to take risks, the risk it takes to go on to, triple B type bonds where you can get more. You know, we could invest in Spanish or Italian sovereign debt and get 8%.
Nothing.
Have you invested in any of them? No, you haven't. What? All the money you're leaving on the table. So, well, okay. So that concludes our report, and may conclude the open session unless.
What's up? All right, further business? Yes.
Just a question to Dave. What's the sales tax trend right now?
It's been trending positive. A couple hundred thousand above budget if you annualize it, but keeping our eye on it, reading lots about slowdown in the economy, and hopefully the sales tax holds up. So, but right now, through four or five months of collections, there's a lag. We're trending above budget. So.
How's the golf course doing?
I heard that it's above budget, but Al keeps a close eye on that.
Yeah, right now, we're running a little bit above.
A little bit above.
Last year's revenues.
Okay.
But it's all weather related.
I mean, I know. It's not they don't golf. It's rain they don't golf.
No, okay. We'll get through the whole summer.
All right.
Is there any effort to ascertain on this LIBOR rate issue whether or not we paid too much on interest on bonds or conversely didn't receive enough on investments because those rates are ultimately tied to the average that comes out daily? And
there's little likelihood that we paid more on bonds than we should have when we issued GO debt. Very little likelihood of that, although we'll continue to investigate whether there's some indirect impact on the marketplace that we have some legal right to. There's more likelihood, although I think minimal impact here, that we could have not, might not have gotten the interest payments that we should have, although like we just talked about, we're getting mere basis points. It could have been indirect. I think it's unlikely that happened in Dana, maybe a little higher chance that the local government investment pool was engaging in swaps and the bank possibly, but I there's going to be lots of litigation. It's going to get pooled. Some of the big cities think they got hit pretty hard, like Boston thinks they got hit pretty hard, and the ones will make the money. You know who will make the money off of that?
Those you should.
I'd be like,
all right, let's move on here. Anything else? All right, seeing no further business, I would entertain a motion to go into closed session to consider the two grievances before us.
So moved.
And go on night and good.
All right, and who would be involved in remaining besides committee members and county supervisors?
Mr. Tenzi has to leave. The county board supervisors can stay, but yes. Those of you who are not on the committee cannot vote.
All right, and your staff, in other words, will remain.
The Brookside staff is presiding.
We have to take the motion in open session.
All right. There was a motion. Was that by
Bill?
Bill
motioned.
Our Supervisor Grady to close it based on
I think we got to make a motion to go with 1985 1C.
All right, so Supervisor moved. Grady so moved with a second by Supervisor Frederick. A roll call, Supervisor Frederick.
Aye.
Grady. Kohlmeyer.
Aye.
O'Day.
Aye.
We're closed.
Yep, let me switch people.
Right. Give us a moment to put the cape on. Yep.